Well, as you know, I had cancer a while back, and when I was getting ready to go through chemo, I was just terrified. And when I went down for my first chemo treatment, I started praying on the way down there. And by the time I had got to Liberty to start my chemo treatment, I had the most awesome peace come over me. I had never felt anything like that in my life, and I knew no matter what, I was going to be fine. And if I had one wish in the world, it would be to give other people the peace that I received that day. And I know it was only through prayer.
Open up in your Bible with me this morning to Psalm 71. These two verses that we'll read together have become sort of the theme verses for this part of our lives for Michelle and I. While we don't qualify exactly yet in our estimation for the "now that I'm old" portion of this, we're just older. However, I will say that my friends that I graduated high school with and went to college with that chose the educational field like my father are now retired. That's all I'm saying. They did their 30 and they're out, and they've been retired for a few years, some of them. So maybe at least I qualify for this verse. And is our tradition, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 71, verse 17. O God, You have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare Your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare Your strength to this generation, Your power to everyone who is to come. Let's pray. And I'm going to pray from the Passion Translation, this verse. So agree with me in prayer as you bow. From childhood, You've been my teacher, Lord. And I'm still telling everyone of Your miracle wonders. God, now that I am old and gray, don't walk away. Give me grace to demonstrate to the next generation all of Your mighty miracles and Your excitement to show them Your magnificent power. God of miracles, I'm asking You to hear and answer our prayers, that Your hand would be extended to heal towards those that are in need today, that You would set people free, that You would make them whole, that Your favor would be upon them, that miracle solutions would be granted to them, that, Father, that You would do those things that only You can do on behalf of people in need, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead and be seated. And also turn now to Hebrews chapter 2. Just a show of hands. How many of you believe that you've seen or you've experienced God do something miraculous? Okay, you can put your hands back down. So that's the majority of people. Now, one of the great things is that you're in wonderful, great company. Again, from Morgan's sermon last Sunday, almost every denomination, in America at least, affirms that God still does miraculous things today, somewhere in their statements. And we've had a lot of discussion over the years with different people about whether or not God still does certain things. You know, most people that follow the Lord that are not agnostic or not atheist, people that believe in God, believe that certainly He did miraculous things. And so this idea of God of miracles, and we don't mind singing about it. Also, it makes a good song. But then, rubber meets the road. Do you believe that? Then you'll start hearing some doubt that comes up in people's minds and thoughts. Now, just a thought for you in this God of miracles discussion. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We know about, probably less than 1% of what that really means. It's beyond our comprehension and beyond our scope. We believe that God became a human being, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was crucified, he died and was buried, and then on the third day he came back to life. We believe that. We believe that he ascended into heaven and that he's coming back again. And when he comes back again, that even people that have died will receive their bodies will rise again from the dead, and be, reunited with their spirit, and that will exist forever with glorious bodies. We believe that. Yet we have trouble believing that God would intervene supernaturally in something that's going on today. That's illogical to me. And so while we go through this God of miracles, the only part of miracles that we have any control over is sort of a believing part. Being open, being accepting, having some faith. There's no formula to miracles. You can't, if I do this and then if, I can get somebody else to do that, then we get a miracle, because it just doesn't work by formulas. But obviously there's a faith element involved, because people that believe seem to experience more miraculous things, and people that don't believe really get what they believe. They don't really experience ever miraculous things. But Jesus' ministry was somewhat dependent upon miracles. When he was about to leave and go back to heaven, he had gathered, for the Passover meal, his closest followers. He had the 12 with him before, and then Judas slipped out to betray the Lord. But he began to talk about leaving. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. John 14. And they said, well, how are we going to know the way? He said, well, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then somebody said, show us the Father. And Jesus scratched his head, so to speak, and said, how can you say, show us the Father? How long have I been with you? I mean, if you don't even believe the words that I'm speaking to you right now, at least believe me for the sake of the works themselves. In other words, and think about this, when Thomas... You remember Jesus appeared to the disciples, but Thomas was missing. And they said, we've seen the Lord risen from the dead. And Thomas said, I'm sorry, I can't believe that unless I see Jesus for myself. And we call him Doubting Thomas, and that's really unfair, because Jesus really did not rebuke Thomas. He just said, blessed are people who can believe without seeing. But we all know people that really have trouble believing in God because they've never really seen or experienced God do anything. They don't feel the same way that maybe you feel about it. And so they have trouble, but Jesus didn't rebuke people like that. He said, well, at least believe me for what you have seen, the miracles. Thomas, put your hand, put your finger through the hole and so forth. And so we're just all different. Some people are just going to have trouble believing in God without some other proof or some other evidence. And I'm just saying God's big enough to handle that. But we need to be a group of people that allows for that possibility and perhaps even participate somehow in facilitating that in some way, that we would believe so that people who need a miracle and people who need to see a miracle can believe. It's wonderful. You're blessed that you don't need other evidence. You can believe in a God that you've never seen. And that's a wonderful gift. But what about people that can't? Everywhere we go internationally, God shows up. We preach a very simple gospel message. And then we pray for people. And God does instantaneous miracles every single time, without fail. And many of you have been on those trips with us. And look at this passage then in Hebrews 2. Verse 1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? And so in other words, what Jesus was doing was the beginning of something, not the end of something. And was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. So what Jesus started was picked up by the apostles and other followers of Jesus. And what they heard and what they experienced with the Lord, they picked that up and they passed that on to that generation, who passed it on to the next generation, all the way to us. But verse 4 says, God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. Signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit still do happen in the earth today. I receive reports almost daily through the internet or from friends, from other people. We have seen those things ourselves. In my Sunday school class this morning, there was a conversation about the boy that fell through the ice in Lake St. Louis this past year. He was underneath the water. He was under the water for over 15 minutes. They took him, you know, obviously when they got him up out of the water, they took him, you know, by ambulance to the hospital. His mother came in to that situation and asked that God would bring her son back to life. Long story short, he did come back to life. 15 minutes. This is all documented. This is all factual. This isn't hearsay. This is actual, and I'll tell you a few more details about that. You know, no physical problems, no mental problems. He's a freshman in high school now and a football player. And I met his pastor in Columbia several months ago. I met the pastor of that church. You know, that church's experience, that Assembly of God Church in St. Peter's is experiencing, you know, kind of supernatural growth right now because of this miracle. People want to come and be part of this and that sort of thing. But somebody in my class was connected to that story also. The emergency room doctor in that situation said there's absolutely, completely no explanation for this. Medically, scientifically, the only explanation is God did a miracle. So I'm just saying, that's current, that's Missouri, come on, that's not, you know, the Bible days, that's not India, you know, that is right here, right now, God of miracles stuff. And so together, we're just going to believe that God of miracles still does signs and wonders and miracles. Again, we have the same Holy Spirit living in us. We pray to the same God of miracles that, they prayed to in Bible days. We follow the one who rose from the dead, and we still believe that the name of Jesus is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that He is Lord. We do also know this. Go ahead and open up with to Matthew chapter 13. We know this, that doubting can block the miracle-working power of God. Our doubts can do that. Then on the opposite side of that, believing opens the door of possibility. There is a faith element to this. Not a formula, because God's a mystery. And He's still God and I'm still not. And you ought to be grateful for that. Fact. I can't make God perform tricks. I can't train God like He's a trained dog jumping through hoops by command. It doesn't work that way. But there is a faith element to receiving from God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it's impossible to please God. That everyone who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There is a faith element to receiving from God. But you will never hear from me or anybody from this church in any kind of official capacity that you didn't receive your miracle, you weren't healed, you know, somebody had something bad because you didn't have enough faith. That's mean. I said, that's mean, and you don't know. On the other hand, are you following me? And so we're not going to reduce this to a formula. 10 steps to receiving your miracle from God. I wish I could write that book, because those books sell. But look at this in Matthew 13. Verse 53, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that He departed from there. When He had come to His own country, He taught them in the synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom, these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers and his sisters? Are they not with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Verse 57. So they were offended at Him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now He did not do many mighty works there because of their, what? Their unbelief. There is a believing element to receiving from God. Look at Mark chapter 9. And I think we'll be able to identify with this. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when He came to the disciples, He saw a great multitude around them, scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw Him, all the people were greatly amazed. Running to Him, greeted Him. And He asked the scribes, what are you discussing? Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. Wherever it seizes him, throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I bear with you? How long shall I be with you, and how long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And when they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And so he asked his father, how long has this been happening? The answer, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Now notice the statement from the father here in verse 22. But if you, Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus' response in verse 23, I believe, is so critical. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And I just think that's where many of us are. We believe, but we need some help with our unbelief. You ever vacillate between believing and not believing? I mean, you build yourself up, you came to church, you sang about God of miracles, you prayed, then you went home, and you start doubting again. We've all been there. We prayed for something and it didn't happen the way we wanted it to, and we just doubt. Many of us that would say we have received maybe even multiple miracles from God, you know, think now maybe we've done something wrong and He doesn't answer us that way anymore, even though we've got documented miracles in our life, but currently we're having trouble believing. Let's just be honest. You know, I never really trust people that say they 100% believe in God all the time, because I just know that's not how it works. There's just time we have trouble believing. We see some tragic thing happen, or we're disappointed, and we just have trouble. So can we just be honest to say today, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. Fact is, maybe we ought to just say that. I believe, help my unbelief. I think that's a more honest prayer than some of us pray sometimes. The only part of miracles that we have anything to do with at all is believing. And so I want to keep my believer kind of well-oiled and functional. It can get kind of rusty. It can kind of get neglected. And all we're really trying to do here is just say, I believe. Help my unbelief. Because there's a faith element to receiving from God. Now, the rest of the story is Jesus heals the boy. And the disciples later said, why couldn't we cast this out? And Jesus said, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. I don't understand that fully, but here's what I do believe. That as children of God, as members of the body of Christ, we have a responsibility, I believe, to keep ourselves open to the possibility of God using us to bless somebody else. All we really are in this process is some kind of conduit, some kind of whatever. I mean, we're not the healer, we're not God. But I love a story I heard in Sunday school this morning about this random situation, and one of our, you know, family members here, one of our body, just ministered to this person who just showed up sort of at his feet in a workplace environment, and he asked the guy, can I pray for you? And he said, sure. And he said, God showed up. And he said, I was crying. He was crying. We prayed for almost 30 minutes. That was almost 40 days ago. And God turned this guy's life around. That's God of miracles. And I'm just saying that I think maybe we ought to stay kind of prayed up and ready for God to use us at any moment for His miracle-working power to be released through us to a person in need. And I think that's why we're going through this sermon series. I've looked back at my notes. It's been a long time since we've gone through a whole series of sermons like this. But I've been telling you that if we were teaching on prayer, you know, we teach with a call to action emphasis. We expect you to be doers of the Word. I almost pray it every single time that I pray. Lord, that we would be doers of Your Word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. From James. And there's not much for us to do here except raise our level of expectation and raise our level of belief and to be more, you know, more aware of what's going on around us, that God would use us to be a blessing through us to other people, because that's how it works. Are you willing to be the answer to somebody's prayer? You know what I'm saying? God generally answers prayers by using people on earth to do something. Are you willing to be those people? And so, the disciples weren't ready for this moment. They had a need presented, and they couldn't help the father, and they couldn't help the boy. And Jesus rebuked them. He said, "O faithless generation, how long am I going to be with you?" There was some level of expectation in Jesus that they should have been able to help this situation. And they said, "Well, what do we do next time?" And He said, "Be prayed up and ready. This kind comes out by prayer and fasting." So if you'd like to join, you know, us on Wednesday nights, I'm doing a lot extra praying right now, just praying that the God of miracles would show up and do miracles. If you'd like to come, you know, join me and as we, you know, just use our midweek service to prepare for what God wants to do for the rest of the week. We're going to teach along the lines of this. Did so Wednesday, will so this coming Wednesday. You know, if you go to dailychapel.com, you know, every morning, or it's there, you know, it's there 24/7. But there'll be scriptures along this line. There'll be some prayers along this line. Because I think as a congregation, we need to raise our level of belief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You see, faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And so we're just going to emphasize this twice a week, all the way through the month of September, and then we'll see after that. We'd also like for you to share your testimonies with us. We asked for miracle testimonies, and some of you came in. I heard a miracle testimony today, and it didn't have anything to do with healing. It had to do with something else. And so miracles come in all kinds of forms. But share those testimonies with us, because they'll be an encouragement to other people. There was a young man, and I'll close with this. Several years ago, we used to go out on an outreach during the Mardi Gras in New Orleans. It's the craziest thing, trying to win people to Jesus in the middle of the biggest party on the planet, except maybe Rio. And it's just wild. But this man gave his life to the Lord, and he was just addicted to all kinds of illegal drugs, and he was involved in just lots of promiscuous sex, and and he was just a mess. But God saved him. Just delivered him from this drug addiction, and he just had to become celibate. I mean, he just was out of control, but he had AIDS. All right, I get a phone call from his family. He was in Austin, Texas. We had a young man that I knew, friend of mine, was finishing up law school at the University of Texas. So I went and stayed at his apartment and just went and just ministered to Larry. I said, "Larry, how do you want me to pray?" He said, "Man, God's been so good to me. He saved me. He's delivered me." He said, just, and he had cancer because of the effects of his immune system. He had cancer just all throughout his body. He was on hospice. Just get a picture of what Auschwitz, a concentration camp people. I mean, he was just a bag of bones and hooked up to this IV. It could barely speak and couldn't stay awake very many hours of the day, and he could have died at any moment. So just flew down to see him. I said, he said, "Just, you know, pray I go quickly." And I said, "Well, do you mind, Larry, if I just share with you some things that I believe about the God of miracles?" He said, "Man, you can share anything with me. You've done so much for me. I said, I'm going to be here for a few days. Do you mind if I just share some things? And I just began to share some things from the Bible, how that maybe we could pray and perhaps God would do a miracle for him and maybe he could live, you know, and not die. He said, share away. And while I'm sharing, with him, he had an aunt and uncle that were there taking care of him. His parents were already dead. And as I began to share from the Bible, just, you know, Jesus healing people and Acts of the Apostles stuff and just everything I could think of, the aunt and uncle said, hey, we need to tell you something. We used to be Assembly of God missionaries. We're backslidden. We haven't been in church in decades. We walked away from God a long time ago, but they began to go back to like the 60s. And they began to share stories how they used to go through Arkansas preaching these revival meetings and that God would heal people and deliver people. And they just started sharing very specific stories of what God had done back in the 60s. Well, this was about 1990 now. And it just started building up Larry's faith that the God of miracles might do something for him. My stories, you know, the Bible teaching was good, but boy, those personal stories from his aunt and uncle was really building his faith. And so I got ready. It was my day to leave and fly back to Kansas City. I said, Larry, how do you want me to pray for you before I leave? He said, pray that God will heal me. And I believe that he will. I said, okay. Prayed a very simple prayer. I didn't get all, you know, televangelist on him or anything. I just, you know, just prayed that God would heal him, restore him to health, and got an airplane, flew home. Several weeks later, got a phone call from Larry. He said, I went back to the doctor. He said, you're not going to believe this. I said, yes, I will. I believe. You're not going to believe this. I said, yes, I will. Tell me. Believe it. He said, I went back to the doctor. They couldn't find cancer anywhere in my body. And he started recovering. He started gaining strength. Look, you're not going to hear a lot of testimonies of people that have been put on hospice that later on come visit you. But Larry flew to Kansas City. He came to Cornerstone Church. He gave his testimony. He moved to Houston. He started going to Second Baptist Church in Houston. That's Ed Young's church in Houston. Had a very big television ministry. They interviewed Larry on, you know, for the television ministry. And he said, this little preacher boy from Missouri came down and prayed radical prayers over me and God healed me. It wasn't a radical prayer. I'm telling you, it was just as simple as, Lord, please heal Larry in Jesus' name. Amen. There's nothing radical about me. We just believe in the God of miracles. I believed, Larry believed, and God did a miracle. And I'm just saying we believe in that same God of miracles. So if you need a miracle from God, I'll just say that I believe. If you believe. We can't do God's part, but we can do our part. So this is what we're going to be preaching on for several Sundays now. If you need prayer today, we'll pray for you. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, come out of darkness and into the light. Man, we'll lead you in a prayer that will lead you into... I mean, what a miracle. In one moment, you can go from dead to alive. You can go from lost to saved. You can go from being a foreigner or a stranger to the family of God, but now you're instantly part of God's family. What a miracle. We're here for you. Would you stand up to your feet, please? And I've kept you a couple of extra minutes, so I'm going to let you go.